Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm John Schumann with Medical Monday. According to the 2010 census, the American population over the age of 65 was at its largest point ever. And that segment of the population also is growing faster than any other age stratum. It's no surprise, then, that demographers have labeled this phenomenon the silver tsunami. Of course, when we or our parents age, nearly all of us would prefer to stay in our homes until the day we die. But that is not an option for everyone. Illness and injury can intercede, thus making self-care nearly impossible. The Oklahoma Healthy Aging Initiative, or OHI as it's known, is a grant-funded nonprofit enterprise that seeks to help older Oklahomans successfully age in place, as the phrase goes. OHI has 5 centers across the state and offers classes and resources to older adults and their caregivers, teaching the tricks of the trade for people suffering from immobility, memory difficulties, or chronic illnesses like diabetes or arthritis. Linda Miller, my guest today, is the education director of the Northeast Center of OHI, based here in Tulsa. She's been in the field for a decade and a half, and she stopped by to teach us about Oklahoma's Healthy Aging Initiative. Linda Miller of OHI is my guest today on Studio Tulsa Medical Monday. Linda Miller, welcome to Medical Monday. Tell us what OHI is, the Oklahoma Healthy Aging Initiative.
Well, the Oklahoma Healthy Aging Initiative is a grant-funded program at the University of Oklahoma Department of Geriatric Medicine. We received a grant from the Donald W. Reynolds Foundation to create this Healthy Aging Initiative for the state of Oklahoma. And our goal really is to get some health education out there and help seniors as well as their family caregivers to improve their health, wellness, better understanding, and for all of us just to kind of age a little more healthy.
And so it's about 6 years old.
It is.
And it's statewide, as you said. So it has, I guess, centers in, is it 5 different places?
We do. Tulsa opened up first. We have one in Lawton, Oklahoma City, Durant, and Enid.
And I just recently visited the Tulsa Center. It's pretty spectacular. Tell us about what you have there.
Well, the center there that you visited is our Family Caregiver Training Center. And we also do professional education training there as well. It's a little unique. You walk in and it looks like an apartment home. So you feel like you're kind of walking into your aunt or your grandmother's house. And we are really encouraged by the environment because what we're really trying to do is to help people age in place and to really reinforce the healthcare industry out there through home health, certified nurse aide training, home health deeming, that sort of thing.
And so the folks that come in there typically are more the caregivers than elder folks themselves, or is it both?
We do both. So We have 2 components to this program. We have the community side of education, where we do all kinds of education in one of our 19 counties that the Tulsa area serves. But then we also have this caregiver training center, where family caregivers can come into the center. They learn things like bathing and dressing and transferring skills, all those nursing things that are utilized in the hospital environment. But we're teaching the family caregivers those skills. So that they can care for their loved one a little longer in place.
So let's say I have an elderly mother and it's, you know, tough to, she's having trouble, you know, getting to the toilet or getting in and out of bed or out of a chair, and I want to learn these skills. How do I sign up?
You can call us. We actually have 3 centers statewide that provide this service. The statewide toll-free number is 855-227-5928. Or here locally in Tulsa, if you're in and around the northeast area of Oklahoma, you can call 888-616-8161.
And you can get more information there, or you can sign up for a class or come into the center. Okay, now you offer some very specialized programs as well for elderly patients. Let's start with Tai Chi. What is Tai Chi and why is that beneficial to elderly folks?
So Tai Chi is actually a medically modified version of Tai Chi. It's for better balance. It actually teaches them how to plant their feet a little more and shift their weight so they're a little more aware of how they're moving. But it also helps them to re-strengthen whether they are prone to falls or maybe they've fallen recently, and it helps them to regain their strength a little bit more. So it really teaches them how to be aware of where their sense of balance is within how they stand.
And do we have data to suggest that when folks enroll in this, they do, in fact, fall less?
Yes. Yes, we sure do. And, you know, some of the stories that we've even heard are those that maybe they've come out of physical therapy because of a fall, and now they're able to bend over, reach up and grab something out of the high cabinet a little bit more. You know, as we start to walk, we don't really think about where we're planting our feet or how we're shifting that balance from one to another. And this really gets them back to the basics of stopping and thinking about how they're moving.
And how many participants can you like fit into one class, or how do you have a good enrollment on that, or is there room to grow?
We do. Because we go out into the community, it depends on the place that we're holding it at as to the class size sometimes. We like small classes. And so the maximum that we usually do is about 12 to 15 people in a class. We've had as many as 30 or more enroll at once, and we've had to actually split the classes up into two classes. But we really like to keep them small for a couple of reasons. Number one, it keeps a better balance for the instructors to watch their students, because we are talking about some who are a little shaky on their feet. But also, we have found that the smaller the classes, the better they tend to participate, because then you have those who may not be as forthcoming to ask a question if there's a larger group. So we like those small classes.
Okay, another program that seemed very interesting to me from some of your material was Diabetes Empowerment Education Program, abbreviated as DEEP. What is DEEP? What does that program do?
So DEEP really gets into what is diabetes and how do you manage it. It's a six-week class. All of the classes that we really provide are evidence-based, so that basically just says they've taken studies to show where people's health is in one spot. They go through a class, and then the outcome of it is that they show that it's improved because of these classes. And this particular class really divvies into everything. It gives you a little bit of information once a week for about 2 hours. They may talk about carbs, healthy eating, water portion control sizes. You know, we all like things. We have our special little things that we like to eat. And so it will teach you how to introduce those foods safely in a diet. It teaches you how to check your sugar, and more importantly, what is your A1C and why you should be knowing these numbers, you know, why you should be very familiar with these numbers and stay up on top of them. So it really also gives them an opportunity to get feedback. You know, when you're thrown information, sometimes it can be overwhelming. And so it's hands-on. We do a lot of hands-on activities with them. It's very interactive. It's fun.
So for participants in these classes, is there a cost associated with it, or is it something that's covered by insurance?
We do not charge right now. You know, we accept donations because of the way our grant is set up. But right now, there's no cost to it.
So really, anyone who's interested is eligible. Do you have to be a certain age in order to qualify? So even if you're, say, below 65, the Medicare age, but you might want to learn more about diabetes for yourself or for your aging loved one, you're more than welcome to sit in,
right,
to sign up.
And we really encourage the family, especially with the DEEP class, to come to the class. Everybody lives with a condition. It's not just the person that's been given the diagnosis. And when they have that support at home with the loved ones that they are sharing the table with, and they better understand it, then they usually stay on top of it a little better.
You're listening to Studio Tulsa. It's Medical Monday. I'm John Schumann. Our guest today is Linda Miller. She's the Education Director for the Northeast Center of the Oklahoma Healthy Aging Initiative. And we're talking about some of their offerings, including how to age in place and how to age more successfully in general. One of the programs, Linda, that you also offer through OHI is something called REACH, which stands for Resources for Enhancing Alzheimer's Caregiver Health. That's a mouthful, but tell me what that is.
So this program is designed for the family caregiver or maybe the friend that's taking care of someone with Alzheimer's or dementia. And what we do is we talk one-on-one with that person, really get into where the education can help them understand what they're dealing with. And the unique thing about this particular program is it's all delivered over the phone. So there's no reason for them to have to find respite or relief care, get in the car, travel across, you know, town to come to a class. But this particular program gets into what is the disease? What are you experiencing? How can we help you get through some of that? It teaches family caregiver stress management. And studies actually show that the caregivers that come through this program gain about 2 hours back to themselves of non-caregiving duty.
Really? Wait, is that because they're just like more efficient at providing caregiver duties, or is it because they're more adept at handling their loved one or their friend who they're caring for who may have dementia and they just kind of know how to contextualize things better?
Yeah, I think it's both. You know, it's like driving a car. First time you get in there, all the buttons and everything is a little overwhelming, but each time you get in that car, you're a little more confident to navigate the journey ahead of you. And it's the same thing with this. When you understand the disease, you're prepared better, and you're actually able to handle what comes up a little more. But when you have that confidence as a caregiver, the stress levels go down for yourself. You know, overall health goes up for you. We really encourage the caregivers to take care of themselves. We use the scenario of if you've ever, you know, flown on an airplane, they tell you the very first thing that you need to do is put the oxygen mask on yourself before you try to help anyone else. And so when they better understand that and they better understand the disease, then overall, both the person they're taking care of and themselves remain better.
My understanding of this from both from patients that I know and families and I guess personal experience as well as some of the research literature is that caregivers of folks with dementia, as you alluded to, have a lot of stress. And one of the biggest factors for them is isolation. So
Absolutely. They
often are just feel isolated, like they're maybe the only person in the world going through this. And the level of stress is sort of through the roof because they just feel totally committed 24/7. And depending, of course, on the severity of the dementia and how it's manifest in the loved one, I mean, it can be, I mean, obviously it's a devastating illness almost in any event. So this type of class, as you say, is provided just over the phone so that the attendee of the class does not have to leave the affected person with whom they're working. But they get some tips and some strategies, and as you pointed out, the results are in the pudding, that the 2 hours a day gained?
2 hours. We also, the second component of it, it's not just one-on-one. We have kind of a non-traditional support group that's the second component of it, where they actually call in with about 10 others on the phone. They get a guided topic. Maybe it's on stress management that day, and then they have the opportunity to actually share their knowledge and their experience with the others on the phone. And so, you know, we may be asking them, what do you do for to care for yourself? What are some tips that you would give the other caregivers on the phone that you do every day? And so they're hearing from others. That does kind of break some of that isolation that some of those caregivers experience. But they don't need a face to relate to another person who's going through the same thing they are. And when that person on the other end of the phone can say, hey, I've been there, I get this, you're doing the right thing, it goes a long way.
So one of the things at your center, you mentioned early on in this interview that it looks like a home environment, like it might be Aunt Gracie's place or something, and you come in there, you mentioned that you train folks in how to help with caregiving, so transfers from bed to seated position or wheelchair, how to use a walker, issues like that. What other, I guess, simulation experiences do you have at the center here in Tulsa?
Well, we also help the professionals. Maybe they need or would like a little more hands-on experience in learning, I don't know, a particular skill that they come straight out of school with. So we do some enhancement skills with them. But really the other simulations that we do with them is teach them how to adapt within their homes. We're sending nurse aides out into homes where we don't have the big teams of nurses and all the assistive devices and things like that that you have in long-term care facilities or hospitals. And so sometimes those professionals have to get very creative in the home. And so our nurses are able to teach them how to maneuver and utilize things within the home.
Really to be more effective problem solvers in a sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's one of the things that we are trying to do with this new nurse aid training that we're doing is not only teaching them the hands-on skills, but we're really trying to reinforce the critical thinking and that process of why they're doing it so that they can be the advocates in the homes for them.
Now, I noticed in the center there, I mean, there's other equipment for simulation, right? So there, you have some mannequins there, mm-hmm. and those are really just to transfer those mannequins as if they're bodies, or do you do other medical procedures as well, like
It's
CPR
just a transfer and bay. That's really it. We do have some CPR training modules in there as well. So we can do training with CPRs for family caregivers as well as professionals. But the dummies are really there. It's much easier to drop one of them initially, you know, than it is your loved one. And you just really need that confidence. And, you know, we've experienced that. We've had a family member who came in. He was very scared about dropping his mother. Unfortunately, a situation had occurred where he had dropped his father before, so that confidence level really was low on this initial caregiving duty. And so he was able to get in there and kind of manhandle those dummies and learn how to properly plant his feet and shift and move. And going out of the family caregiver class, he felt a lot better about going home and taking care of that loved one.
And so these are, again, this is all free, free to the caregivers, but also to the nurses' aides you mentioned or the home health assistants?
So the family caregiver training center, the classes we provide out of there are not. Family caregiver classes are $25 for the two-day class. We work with a lot of different area businesses and stuff to try to offset some of that. And then the nurse aide training that we actually provide, there is a cost for that as well.
Is that typically borne by the nurse's aide, him or herself, or by the agency for whom they work?
Both.
Both, okay.
We do have some where the agencies are starting to send people over. We're different. We provide 6 weeks of education with this particular state certified training. And then they come out of our training as well with a dual certification. They're not just going to be trained as a certified nurse aide, but they are also going to be trained as a home health aide. And then there is a cost factor for the individual if they are not employed somewhere that will help offset that cost. However, there's programs out there. Workforce Oklahoma assists with some of them. We have some of the Indian Nations that will also help with tuition assistance. And then we have some private scholarships as well.
And Linda, there's a concept that kind of permeates the initiative and what you guys do, which is aging in place. And it's sort of self-explanatory, but I wonder if you would expound on what is meant by the term aging in place.
Sure. So everybody wants to stay in their home as long as they possibly can. And that's really our goal, is if we can teach people how to safely maneuver in their homes and modify their homes and adapt their homes as we age, as we start changing and our bodies start changing, then we're able to keep them longer in their homes. That also includes for these family caregivers of not waiting until the crisis hits to get services in there, to try to find and look for some of those wraparound services that they're eligible for to help support them in the home so that they can keep that loved one at home.
And when people are discharged from hospital, is that a way in which people are often referred to OHI, or do folks just find out about you kind of through advertising or the grapevine? What's the best way to get folks in to make use of the many resources that you offer?
All three. We do get some referrals from discharge planners and social workers in the hospitals, clinics. A lot of it is word of mouth right now. We have some things going on with Facebook page and our website. We try to do some advertising. Any of our classes that are out in the community, we always do a notice in the local newspapers for the classes that are coming up. We try to collaborate a lot of times with community calendars and things like that. If they're interested in classes, the best thing is just to let us know. I mean, in the communities, they know where they're getting their information. Most of the time it's newspapers and some of the smaller rural areas. But sometimes it might be the community center or an independent living facility. So we really go into the communities to see where are they, how can we reach them, how can we get the classes to them. Because one thing that I do need to let you know is transportation's a barrier out there. Even in city limits of Tulsa, there are a lot of transportation issues that are out there. And it's not going to do us any bit of good to get that health education out there if they can't get to us. So we're really trying hard to reach them where they're at and where they're already congregating for meals or social events such as churches and things like that.
So you've been with OHI for, I guess, 5 of its 6 years of existence. What, I mean, if you know, what is the sort of the genesis? I mean, where did the seed of the Healthy Aging Initiative kind of start?
Well, Arkansas actually has a Healthy Aging Initiative. And Donald W. Reynolds Foundation has supported that in the past. Oklahoma's health for seniors. We're not doing too well.
We're not doing too well in any measures.
No. And so they really wanted to see what they could do in Oklahoma. And so the grant was provided to OU to start this initiative to see if we can do some improvement. And we have, I think.
Now, my understanding of the Donald W. Reynolds Foundation is it's somewhat unique in that it's what's called a Sunset Foundation, which I believe that the donor's intent was to have all of the bequeathed money spent over some period of time and not to kind of last in perpetuity. So I guess what kind of challenges does that present?
Well, other than it ends, you know, we are really looking at sustainability measures. And so we're looking at additional grants that are out there, fee-for-service programs, private donations.
Right. So fee-for-service, you mean to do like essentially billable to medical insurance, that kind of a thing.
Or even private organizations, you know, whether it's a group that would like to have the class come out to their area, or, for instance, maybe it's a bank that has a group of individuals that they would like to have the class for. It's a way to continue to help them serve their clients as well, too.
Interesting. So like a corporate training model in a way. So one thing that I wondered is we talked about aging in place and how, you know, it almost certainly is a goal of nearly all of us, I would suspect, to stay where we are, to live at home as long as possible. It gets me to the sort of the pained question of, is there a time where you may be evaluating a situation with a patient and their caregiver or caregivers where it's maybe not readily obvious, but through some of your diagnostics or the participation in the class, or whether it is readily obvious, that this is someone who just really can't age in place anymore and really needs a referral to some kind of skilled nursing facility or, for lack of a better term, a nursing home, that type of environment. Does that happen?
We do come across those. And really, most of the time what we see is the hesitation to put them into a facility like that is because their lack of knowledge of what's going on. And they think that, oh, I'm going to put them in there and I have to turn my back and leave them in there. And that's not the case. So what we try to do is really reassure them and then educate them on the services that they really need to seek, and then empower them. You know, we talk to them about who are the ombudsmen in the nursing home facilities. Who are your advocates in the skilled nursing facilities? Who do you reach out to when you have questions and things like that? And so what we're trying to do is shift that care that's being provided in the home into those other environments where they need to, but also continue to make that family caregiver part of the care team. I've been working with family caregivers for about 15 years now, and it still amazes me that to this day, many of them don't think of themselves as part of that care team. They look at the doctors and the nurses and the nurse aides. And when you sit down and talk to them about, okay, what all are you doing for this loved one? And they start realizing all the hats that they're putting on. I think it kind of brings to light a little bit of empowerment as to their place on that care team as well.
That is really interesting. Of course, they're probably doing most of the work.
Absolutely.
Far and away, but yet don't think of themselves as part of the care team. So it's really a framing issue in some ways for many of your clients that come through. That's really interesting. You mentioned you've been doing this kind of work for 15 years or so. How did you get into this field?
By accident.
Really?
Really. I happened to be going to school. I was considering nursing and looked into a particular job that said caregiver coordinator. And I thought, wow, that's kind of strange. What is that? And one thing led to another, and I was hired on at an area agency on aging back in 2001 when the Older American Act actually revised and brought out the National Family Caregiver Support Program funding. And so that funding brought to the communities nationwide things like respite or relief care, training, access assistance for family caregivers, support groups, and things like that.
That seems, those are federally funded programs?
They are, through the Older American Act.
Yeah, remarkably enlightened. Are those still robust and thriving?
They are.
Okay.
Each area agency on aging, and Oklahoma has about 11. Each one does something a little different with their dollars, and it's based on their particular service area. So the area that I actually worked in was the Muskogee area initially, and we provided all five services out of that particular area agency on aging.
What do you mean all five services?
They have respite, training, support group, access assistance, and information about services. That's the five components underneath this Older Americans Act revision. So it actually provides funding to the area agencies on aging, and they may filter it out to grant programs, but there's no cost to the family caregivers. It's actually an age-based program. So if you're taking care of someone over the age of 60 that requires two or more assistance with those activities of daily living, like bathing and dressing and transferring, then you can get these services.
Huh. I mean, I work in the healthcare field, and I feel like that is not very well known.
You know, the AAAs that we refer to them as, the Area Agency on Aging, they really are the best-kept secret. They provide not only the family caregiver services, but they also provide nutrition services, Meals on Wheels, legal aid services, information about other resources that are out there. It's a really great program.
So we've talked a little bit about the Oklahoma Healthy Aging Initiative and about your Donald W. Reynolds Foundation funding sunsetting sometime, I think, in calendar year 2017. Mm-hmm. And that's a challenge for you going forward in terms of sustainability. What are some other challenges for the organization? You are statewide and trying to grow services in the face of, you know, potentially a budget shortfall.
Well, really just getting it out, you know, we're going into rural areas. And sometimes rural areas, there's trust factors that are there. If you aren't from the community, you know, sometimes that can be a little difficult to penetrate some of those areas. But more importantly, too, we're still trying to get people to understand that it doesn't matter if you're 85 years old, you can still make a difference in your health. Getting up and moving, that's why we have moving classes like the Eat Better, Move More classes, or the newest one that we have out now is called Walk with Ease, which is an arthritis-based program. And so those challenges, you know, traveling to and from, when you're going from Tulsa, Oklahoma to Grove, Oklahoma, you know, there's some challenges and stuff that are there. And so really the funding that we have is critically important just because, like I said before, transportation and access to services like this is quite challenging out there. When you're taking someone, say, from, you know, Muskogee area, for them to come to the Tulsa area just to see a specialist, it may cost them $50 one way if they don't have transportation. It may cost them even more than that if they don't have a loved one that can bring them up there and they're stuck with public transportation to bring them up. And then you're asking them to come out and drive across town and take a class. You know, there's choices. I mean, we're living in, unfortunately, a time where the almighty dollar doesn't stretch near as far as what it used to. And so if we can find a way to work as a community together to make the community healthier, not only for ourselves. I mean, I hate to break it to everybody, but you're older now than you were 5 minutes ago when you walked through the door. And so we're all aging. And we all need to start taking those steps to become a little healthier. And I think if we walk with our elders and we do those things with them and encourage them, that's a good sign. That's, you know, they're more likely to come out to the classes. So those challenges are really those barriers of getting them access to the classes. And so that's really why it's so critical that we go into the community where they're at to teach those classes.
Well, Linda Miller is the Education Director for the Northeast Center of the Oklahoma Healthy Aging Initiative, and she was our guest today on Medical Monday. Linda Miller, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
For more information about the Oklahoma Healthy Aging Initiative, you can go to their website at ohai.org. That's ohai.org. Well, that's our show for this Medical Monday. Studio Tulsa is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. For Studio Tulsa, I'm John Schumann with Medical Monday. Thanks for listening.